Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Encounter the presence, protecting the glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Let's look at our scripture. And hopefully we can do justice to this. Personally, I pray for the grace to be able to say some of these things in very, short period of time. But it's not easy. I think it's a weakness on my part. But I will try. So let's look at the 19th chapter of Exodus, and we are going to consider a few things. From the first verse, the scripture tells us that it was in the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt. The same day that they came into the wilderness of Sinai. Now, please, I want you to hold on here. The experience of Egypt in the Old Testament is likened to the salvation experience. When a person becomes a Christian and comes into Christ, it is reckoned that, please, can you help me encourage the children? So that they can also be part of this meeting. All right. Now, when a person comes into Christ, he is said to have left Egypt. Okay. I'm not talking about the Egypt of today. I'm talking about, because we have Christians in Egypt now, Coptic Christians. But the Egypt of that day was likened to the land of bondage. All right. So, this was 3 months after they had left Egypt. And that is significant. That the first thing the Lord was going to introduce to them was His presence. Am I coming off clear? All right. God wanted to introduce Himself to them. The Lord wanted to introduce Himself to them and His glory. He didn't want them to serve Him from afar. So he wanted to introduce himself to them. And the scripture tells us that this was exactly 3 months, the day that they entered into the wilderness of Sinai. The wilderness experience here is not necessarily a place of lack. It's a place of discipleship. Please, I want you to note that. If you are writing, the wilderness experience just before they are introduced into Canaan was not just a place of lack. Sometimes you see people saying things like, oh, I'm going through my wilderness experience. Have you heard those things before? A wilderness experience in the Bible is a place of abundance. It's not a place of lack. It's a place where God supernaturally provides for you. It's a place where God doesn't really make you go through what others are going through before He blesses you. So even though there is lack in the wilderness, but the ancient God is there to meet your needs. So you must have the perspective, that perspective, that when you say you are going through a wilderness experience, what you are actually saying is that you have come into a season of divine encounters. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good news? That when others are saying there's a casting down, but for you and your house, you can say what? That there is a lifting up. You are not really bound by what is going on in the economy. Most times when you find Christians who say they are going through a season of lack, is because there is something that the Lord will have them do that they are not doing. Or maybe they are not even aware that there is something specific that the Lord has allocated to them that, okay, I want you to begin to focus on this area. And because they cannot really discern what the Lord is saying, because they struggle with the voice of God, they are not really proficient, they are not used to hearing God. We see Christians who say, oh, God said, and we look at them as though they are very spiritual. No. A Christian who hears God is a normal Christian. It's a normal Christian. A Christian who doesn't hear God is an abnormal Christian. Praise the Lord. You should not be proud or happy. Somebody said, let me even just maintain like this. So if you are too close to God now, God will not call you to ministry. If you are too close to God, you want to travel, God will say, don't travel. God will begin to control the day you eat and the day you don't eat. So let me just maintain this level. Let Moses go and meet with God. We will stay by the foot of the mountain. Moses, we are not arguing with you. You are our father. Continue to pray. Pastor Gwenga, be praying. That is the same. You would think that, why would God come down, Pastor Kenny, and then says, I want to reveal myself to people. And people will run away. Because the moment he comes down, you will now realize that he's a God of divine standards. He will not take anything. The scripture says in the book of Proverbs chapter 22, it says, do not remove the ancient landmark. Please give me that scripture. Proverbs chapter 22, is it verse 28 now? It says, do not remove what? The ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. That means on the strength of the relationship that our fathers had with the Lord, there were certain landmarks that they set. There were certain things that they taught their children, and they said, look, this is the way we are going to serve God. This is the way you should serve God. And I'm going to show you some things here, and hopefully I can, this is the part one of this message. Hopefully I can touch this in the first part of this message. Hopefully. All right. Talking about the ancient landmarks here. They are like on a plot of land, like the cornerstone. There are places that the builders will mark. Nobody coming after that day can touch those markings. You can't touch it. When you touch it, you have distorted everything. The other architect may come with the building plan. Once he looks at it and sees that you have touched, he will not walk there again. He will say, go and call the person that did this job. This thing is supposed to be here. The moment you move the pillar of worship, and you move the standard by which God says, this is how I want you to approach me, you will say you are worshiping, but you won't be getting the same result. It's just like saying dy dx, and then you flout the rule of dy dx. Or for instance, for those who are involved with sound, if you have a studio, if you've been to a studio, you notice that there's a way the studio is compact. The sound does not go out. There's a way they do all the soundproofing and everything. There's a kind of equipment. There's a way they arrange. There's a kind of alignment between the speakers and where everything is set, the stage, the microphones. Because alignment matters. Please say alignment matters. Alignment matters. You cannot choose the way you want to worship God. You must first establish the landmark, the ancient landmark that God has said that this is how I want you to approach me. And believe me, God has not changed. I say God has not changed. Regardless of everything that Satan is trying to do by corrupting through worship, God's standard is the same. Hallelujah. So the scripture says to us that this was when they came into the wilderness of Sinai. It was a desert. And in verse 3, the scripture says, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him. And there's a principle here in prayer. Moses went up to God, and God spoke to him. Look at verse 3. Moses went up to God. He went up to God, signifying as though he was going on the mountain. You see, our fathers of faith, those in the CAC, they know something about going up. They didn't have the distractions of phones and internet. So they would leave their homes and go to a secluded place up in a mountain, and they would seek the Lord there. In fact, a few years ago, you will find that many churches would build secluded spots somewhere around Lagos by the expressway, and they will call it prayer grounds. Everybody started moving there. Because there's something about prayer that God is interested in. The Bible says Moses went up to God, and God did what? God called out to him. So if Moses had chosen not to go up, God would have been silent. So before you say, oh, pastor, I prayed, was your prayer marked by separation? Hello? Hello, are you here now? I said I'm talking to you about how to encounter the presence and protect the glory. I know you said you prayed, but Moses went up to God, meaning that he left his wife and left his children. There are prayers that you will need to engage in. You cannot engage in with people around you. You may need to call the pastor and say, pastor, is the church going to be open this week? I want to come and pray. And as you are coming in, call your wife, call your family members, call those who may be looking for you and tell them for the next 3 hours I will be unavailable. Tell them. Don't just go like Alora Miram. Don't just disappear. Don't just disappear. Tell them, sir, you are not dead. You went to pray. Huh? And then you turn off your phone. Some of you don't know what Alora Miram is. It's a mystery. It's not something any human being can explain. Except you are filled with this. With the Holy Spirit. So, well, I'm going to decode it very soon. I'm getting close to that mystery. When I get it, I'll come and explain to you. Alright? I'm sharing with you a principle here. The power of going up to God. In Revelation chapter 4, the scripture says, the hand of the Lord came upon John, and the Spirit of the Lord said to him, come up what? Either. Excuse me, John was on the island of Patmos, and there was no distraction. There was nobody with him. Yet there was a declaration, which means that it was not just about the location. It was about the state of his heart. A decision to separate himself to God, to seek God. That means the moment you come into this space, you must isolate every distraction. Come on now, say distraction. You must isolate every distraction. You may need to delete Instagram for the next 3 days. You may need to delete TikTok and Facebook and all those things that you go to satisfy yourself that you are still alive. All those things that take away your need for a real relationship, you must isolate them and say, for the next 3 days, bam, delete. And God help you if you forgot your password. Your account is gone. The issue of separation is not just so much about a physical location. Even though a physical location may be important, as much as the posture of your heart. Many people pray, but they are not separated in their prayers. These are principles I want you to note here. Because the things that deprive us of the full benefit of seeking God, there are very little things that we gloss over. Come on, are you still here now? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed this morning? So we are putting these tools in your hands, and I want you to look at them. The Lord spoke to him the moment he went up to God, and the Lord gave him a message for the children of Israel. Give me verse 4. What did God say to them? What did God say to them? Let's look at the scriptures. They said, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You have seen. God is about to say something, but he's backing up his story. Please, I want you to give me your attention. The Lord said, you have seen. You see, when the Lord begins to call your attention to something in the past, it is because he wants to lay a foundation for something he's about to do. And he wants you to come into that new experience with the right attitude, with the right spirit. And God said, look, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. What did God do to the Egyptians? You need to go back and read. The Lord told Pharaoh, I want you to release these people. And Pharaoh refused. The Lord said again, I want you to release these people. He said no. Then the Lord sent plagues and began to afflict the people, establishing that, look, if anybody stands between you and the beckoning of God, God will fight. Please, somebody, are you here now? And when God fights, he fights death. Unfortunately, you can't sue him. You can't take him to court. You can't seek for an appeal. You cannot go to the Supreme Court. At every one of those levels, you will meet him. because he's the judge of the whole earth. He said, bring your case, bring forth your strong reasons, but your strong reasons are only valid when they are in his will. You cannot convince God on why you should marry Ronke. Because the moment God spoke, he spoke in the full weight of his wisdom. But when it has to do with the Lord making a decision on your destiny, you can make an appeal and convince him. Go and tell Ezekiah that he should prepare his house for he will die. Ezekiah brought forth a strong reason. Baba, don't let me die. Why should I keep you alive? He said, only the living can praise you. God said, give him 15 years. But you cannot bring strong reasons over something that is encapsulated in the full wisdom of God, and you think you want to change God's mind. Eventually, go and look at what happened to Ezekiah. It was better for him to have died. Go and read the story. That when the Lord said, die now, the Lord wanted to preserve his legacy. But you, because you believe that long life is the heritage of Christians, and long life is relative. Genesis says 120. David says 70. So, question, who do we listen to? Jesus 33 and a half. So, define long. Define long. Long is only to the degree that you are still alive to fulfill God's purpose. It has nothing to do with number. If you want to live long, eat well. Take care of your health. Stop drinking Gouda and all those things. And saying with long life, he will satisfy you. He will not satisfy you because you are already satisfied with Gouda. Take care of your health. Eat fruits. Eat natural, you know, things. Healthy things. Take supplements. Do all those things. Those are the things you need if you want to live long. And then when you drive, don't drive above 80 or 100. So that you're not running into an accident or die. If you are doing 140, 150, you are writing a letter to premature death. Because you only know what you are doing. You don't know what the person driving beside you is doing. You don't know how good or wonderful a driver that person is. Which means if he loses control, he's going to implicate you. The essence of speed limit is to regulate the possibility of a crisis and management. So speed is not always the evidence of progress. That things are happening for you fast. Before you finished your university, you got a job. It's not the sign God is with you. It may not be God. Speed is not always the evidence of progress because you may be running in circles. And anybody running in circles is fast, but it's still on the same spot. You are running in circles. Yeah, I'm very fast, but you're on the same spot. But it may take you 20 years to realize. He said, go and tell them. Go and tell them, you saw what I did to the Egyptians. What did he do to the Egyptians? He invaded their gods. He destroyed their gods. He brought them out with a strong hand. What did he do to the Egyptians? He deceived them and led them to the Red Sea and buried their idol there, Pharaoh. I'm saying this so that we can establish a pattern of trust that when I say I will take you, I will never leave you, I will take care of you, I will fulfill my word in your life. God is trying to say, I am capable. So he wants to remind you. You remember where I got you from. Remember where you were 5 years ago. Now you are talking, you are speaking Queen's English. But you know where you were 5 years ago. You know how you were at your lowest ebb. You know how for a while you could not even go to the market and buy yourself a pair of good shoes. You knew how that where God picked you up from, even if they had given you 100,000, you will not think of clothes because you first want to survive. But now you want to use an iPhone 12. Now there are some type of phones you cannot use again. Now you speak through your nose. But those who knew you knew that 5 years ago, you are not this way. Remember where I picked you from. Remember what I did to the Egyptians that contended for your soul. And that's a good place to say thank you, Jesus. Because we are all products of his mercy. We are all products. None of us knew we would be where we were. We were trying, but we didn't really know what would happen to us. We didn't really know if things would work out the way we would have expected. We never knew you will meet the people you met today. You just knew you were trying. And we are all trying. He said, now therefore, verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice. Are you still here? Are you still here? He said, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, there are two things the Lord stated here. And these are the things people struggle with. People don't have problem with God if it has to do with singing. People don't have problem with God if God is just saying, I love you, my son, my daughter, you are blessed, I will take care of people. That the moment God begins to require for obedience, people start struggling. Because all of a sudden, God is too hard. All of a sudden, God is too hard. But you work in a company and they tell you to show up 7 a.m. and you show up. Your parents at 7 a.m. in their villages are still sleeping. But you step out 5 a.m. because you need to meet up with a client. Have you ever closed from work or left the office around 11 p.m.? Please talk to me. Who has closed 11 p.m. before? Now, who has closed 12 a.m.? 12 a.m. Aha. I'm also in that category. And then that was the day you realized we didn't really have so many people in Lagos. Okay, how many of you have shut down your system, locked the door, left the office, and stood at the express or at a hotel roundabout or somewhere looking for a vehicle in the middle of the night? And in the middle of the night, where were your parents? Sleeping. The question of encountering the presence of God is the secret of Moses. This is what God wants to distill. This thing, if as a family of 3-4 people, if you decide to take this thing and obey it, God will cut a covenant with your family. Please, are you with me now? I said, if you take these things, this verse, give me that verse. Verse 5. He said, now therefore, the word therefore there signifies that this is important. If you do this, something will happen. Please, are we together? Have I lost you? Have I lost you? Please, are you here? He said, now therefore, if you will obey. Now, these guys have just been in Christ for how many months? 3 months. They've just been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. 3 months. When you see somebody that has been in Christ for 3 months, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. They are the first to come to the fellowship. Their songs are different. In those days, you will sing songs like, let us carry Jesus up and throw Satan away. Jesus, you are my Savior. Satan, you are a liar. Let us carry Jesus up and throw Satan away. Jesus, you are my Savior. Satan, you are a liar. It's the song for first-time believers. Jesus, you are my Savior. Satan, you're a liar. I am not in Christ. I will sing the song. And people look at you and say, Brother Matthew, wow, we are so encouraged. Your life is changing. And you say, thank you, Brother Matthias. Then they hug you. They walk around with you. Sometimes some of them buy you things. Some of them bring, in those days, will bring clothes and shoes. And we even share them. Because notice this new convert has, his shoes have not, even though he's born again, all things are new, but his shoes are still old. So you bring a pair of shoes for him. Say, Brother Matthias, you can also be wearing this one. And then he's so happy. And he'll begin to sing, let us carry Jesus up and throw Satan. You have to do your hand like this so that people know what you are saying. Those are good songs. Let us carry Jesus up and throw Satan away. Jesus, you are my Savior. Satan, you are a liar. So the reason why he could not carry Jesus before was because he was carrying Satan. So now he has to throw away Satan so that he can what? He can carry Jesus. But the Lord said, this brother Matthias is not really okay. He is happy. He's excited. But we need to introduce something into his life. Give me verse 5. He said, Brother Matthias, I want to move you forward. If you will obey my voice indeed. Sir, what have I been obeying? I've been in Christ for 3 months. He said, no, you have been coming to church. But you have not learnt the art of discerning my voice. And you've not learnt the implication of obedience. Which means, if a man is in Christ, but he is not given to obedience, there is very little God can do with him. You do not register your commitment to God until you begin to live a life of what? Of obedience. Obedience, now we are speaking about things that are already clearly stated in the Bible. Do not lie. Do not cheat. Dress moderately. If the meat that I eat will cause my brother to sin, then for his sake, I will not eat meat. Alright? There are things that are in the Bible that most of us don't talk about again, because plus pastor and church member, everybody is living in sin. The scripture commands that if there is anything I do and my sister in the house does not like it or he offends her, the scripture says the stronger believer must abstain. It's not a question of, oh no, I know what I believe. No. God says you must, because you are the more matured Christian, you are, the burden of refrain is given to you. The burden to withdraw. If God shows up in that meeting, he will say, but you have been a Christian for a few years. You should know better that this one is a baby in Christ. You should have left her and refrained from eating meat. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you need to understand how God sees everything. The Bible teaches us on how to relate with our fellow neighbors, how to relate with our enemies, relate with people in the office, in the business. God's word teaches us everything. And every time we take our posture and we respond because of what God's word says, God says you are obeying his voice. Hallelujah. God says we are obeying his voice. He says, if you will obey my voice. Obeying your voice also means that if the Lord says to you, my son, the devil is at your doorstep, I want you to begin to pray for the next 1 week, 2 hours, 10 p.m. every night. Now, did God tell everybody to pray? He spoke to you. Do you also know that there is another deception that comes with this issue of prayer? Many of us, do you know it's quite easy for you to hear my son, let's come and pray tonight. Do you know it's quite easy for God to tell you, meet me 12 p.m. this night? Has God ever told you, meet me 12 p.m. to study the word? Has God ever told anybody here, 12 p.m. tonight, come for a 2 hours Bible study? Raise your hand. Can you see the deception? Can you see the deception? Can you see the deception? How can you say you have had an encounter with God if you have not had an encounter with the word? There is an idol that prayer has been elevated. It's called prayer. And you now find that even in the name of this so-called prayer, we are not making a lot of progress. Because somewhere in our mind, God only shows up when we pray. But God speaks to us when we study. The scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Not pray. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that what? Needs not be ashamed. Rightly what? Rightly what? The word of truth. And please don't let us start on that one. Because I will isolate the word truth and start another message. Rightly dividing the word of truth, which means if I have a powerful prayer life, a very anointed prayer life, without the same commitment to the word of God, I will not be approved by God. Are we together? Please, are we together? If I have a powerful prayer life, without a consistent study in the word, listening to messages, meditating on the word, doing my own study, and trying to see what the word of God is saying, God says, I will not approve you. Because you may be another magician trying to turn your rod to a snake. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Now, let's read again. The Lord says in verse 5, if you shall obey my voice indeed, which the word indeed is very significant, suggesting that, look at it, if you will obey my voice indeed, suggesting that even when you said that you have obeyed God, you will be tested to see if you meant to do it. Hallelujah. Please, are we together? That even when I say I have obeyed God, God will check to see whether it is obedience has become a pattern of our living, or whether it is one off. Please, are we together? I'm not preaching to you. I'm showing you what the word of God is saying. We are talking about how to encounter the presence of God and how to protect the glory. Because a lot of people had encountered the presence of God, but they couldn't protect it, and the glory went, left them. A pattern of obedience indeed. He said, if you, give me the scripture. He said, if you obey my voice indeed, and what? Keep my what? My covenant. A covenant is a legal agreement that is binding on two people. Do you know that when you came to Christ, you came into a covenant? Do you know that when people preach and say, oh, a person that is in Christ cannot be possessed, it is on the basis of their understanding of the covenant. When the scripture says, all power on heaven and on earth has been given to me, and based on this power, I now authorize you to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Do you know that the authority that is bequeathed to you is on the strength of the fact that you now belong to Christ? That if you say you are a Christian, but in your heart you do not belong to Christ, you belong to the highest bidder, then it means that when you try to initiate certain things in God, or when you come to God out of desperation, or because the devil is at your doorstep suddenly, you may be rejected. There were about five women, the Bible calls them the five foolish virgins, who came, they were waiting for the Lord, and while they were waiting, they slept. But I hope we all know that both the foolish virgins and the wise virgins slept. Huh? Because there's a season of the night that even if you're a prayer warrior, you will sleep. You pray for 7 hours. Once you begin to hit that 2 a.m., you will just sit down and say you are praying. Then after, it's just your head that will be shaking. I say, let me meditate. I want to meditate now. I want to see if God will reveal something to me. And you woke up 6 a.m. No vision, no dream. Then you say, hallelujah. Wow. I don't know what happened though. It's like I slept. It's not like you slept. You moon not long. You slept completely. It was a total shutdown. The moment you start hearing that voice saying, meditate. My brother, the devil is at your door. Don't fall for that trap at 2 a.m. My brother, now sleep with me. The scripture says, if you obey my voice indeed, and what? Keep my commandment. That means every covenant has tenets. It has demands. The covenant here, for instance, for those who go into covenants on the other side, they will tell you, first day of every month, you are going to bring 30 cowrie shells, and you are going to bring, every year, you are going to give us one child. That is the demand of that covenant. Everything will be fine as long as you deliver. And covenants have no respect for sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot. Your Google map must be working. You must be able to keep date and time. Because these spirits, they don't hear sorry. You are going to bring us 3 live chickens. You will be surprised at how angry a spirit can be because of chicken. How angry. Like you did not bring us our kola nut and red palm oil. Is that why you're angry? You could have. My son is in Lagos. He would have. We would just send it. We would send it as a lot. What are you talking about? Give us your account number. Say we don't have an account number. Bring oil. Oil and kola nut. I don't know what the spirits do with those things. But from what we have seen, they can become very angry when they have no kola nut, red pepper, and alligator pepper, and palm oil. So every covenant has demands, tenets. Huh? And God is saying that when you begin to come close to me, there are certain things I will require of you. Now, if you are listening to me and you have not gotten to that stage, you have a long way to go. Please, are you with me? Hello, church. I said if you are listening now or you are online, and there are certain things the Lord has not restricted you from. I'm not saying that those things are bad, though. They may not even be bad things. But the Lord may just tell you that for you, stay away from this one. There's a particular family, and I don't know where that scripture was. Is it Jeremiah or Ezekiel that spoke about a family that their parents restricted them from? Was it Ezekiel? Huh? Please, let me get that. We may not be able to look at that, but I just want to know who gave that prophecy. A family if their forefathers restricted them from taking wine. The Rechabites restricted them from taking wine. Meanwhile, every other person in the land, they were drinking, and God was blessing everybody. God was blessing them. For instance, when I was going to become a pastor in this church, there are certain things the Lord told me before we had the first member. If somebody comes to you and says this is what I want you to do. The Lord told me how I should behave when it has to do with money. I didn't read it from any Bible. I didn't get it from Lagos Business School. And I didn't learn it from any pastor. The Lord told me, for you, this is how I want you to relate with money. The Lord told me you must never ask anybody to give you money directly. The Lord told me, if they want to do it, let it be their decision. Please, are you with me? So the Lord, it's not as if, because I've seen other pastors, when I go to them, they say, oh yeah, I want to bless you, sow a seed into my life. And I will do it, because they are fathers. There are even some fathers you cannot go before them, empty-handed. You are playing with fire. What they are carrying will not come on your life. So you have to prepare a very good, because you don't see them every day. Daddy, it's good to see you. This is 100,000, this is 50,000. My son, I say, Daddy, leave it like that. Just take it. Then he will say, kneel down. And then he will stretch your hands and say, go with the blessing. That prayer has saved me 10 years of fasting. If I just kneel down and he says, go with the blessing, that prayer will still require 10 years of fasting. Because Isaac could have blessed his son without asking for venison. But the prayer will not work. Because the prayer requires a man to be happy. There are some prayers your parents cannot pray for you if they are not happy. When you surprise your parents, give them 100,000, 200,000, they were not expecting it. They will say, my son, as you are going, may the Lord go with you. They will speak a blessing. You will know. Even the person hearing the prayer will know that this thing is from the heart. It's not because they could not have prayed the prayer before. But this time around, the heart is joyful. Anything they say, under that atmosphere, God will hear it. So that's why we sow seed. Because we have been praying, fire, fire, fire refused to fall. Go and sow a seed. Every covenant has what? A demand, has a as tenets. God says, if you follow the tenets that I give you, he said, what is the implication? Let's look at verse 5. He says, if you keep my covenant, which includes all the laws he will give them, both private and public, he says, you shall be a peculiar people. The word peculiar means peculiar treasure. Means private property. There are certain things in your home. Some of you live in 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom flat. As wonderful as those things are, you don't leave them in the parlor. Come on now. They are private property. There are even things in your house that your wife knows this is for daddy. She doesn't touch it. Are we together? There are some things you know, they belong to your wife. Huh? You will not even allow any of your children to go there. Does it make sense? This is private property. God is saying, when you obey my voice and you obey it consistently, I will begin to see that this person is serious. So God moves you from the conversion, oh, he's a new Christian. God begins to say, okay, let's make allocation for this one and begin to train him. He is beginning to show interest in obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? You will keep my command. You will keep. Keep. You take it from the parlor to the bedroom. You keep. It becomes something personal for you. Obedience is no more something in the open space. It becomes something personal. I must obey God because of my love for him and my revelation of him. Because I understand God in a certain way, I have to respond in a particular way. And please, this message is for everybody that is hearing it, including the speaker. Because we have a generation that is growing up now, and they don't know what it means to love God. They think loving God is attending programs. They think loving God is dressing in a particular way. No. Loving God is obedience and covenant. Loving God is what? Obedience and covenant. Give me the scripture. It says you shall be a special treasure. A peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Does God show favoritism? Yes. Yes. Look at that scripture. It says above all people. Do you know the implication? Above every nation, including Africa, including Nigeria, including that place you are dreaming to travel to. Because the power of a prophet is that once the word has gone forth, God now has to back it up. If a prophet keeps quiet, it can be dicey. But when he says it, heavens will move their battalion there. Because your location can affect your destiny. There was a time in the year 1998 and 99. I would go to a classroom somewhere, they call the place Ijakpo Estate. I would go to the class, all those classes, government schools that have no doors and windows. So they are always open, like God's presence. You can come. I will go there, sit in the classroom with all those benches. You know those bench chairs? Just sit down, manage, and I'll be praying. And the Lord told me that he will make me a prophet to nations. But I was struggling with my result. It was not complete. But God said, God didn't talk to me about going to school. He told me I will prophesy. 1998 to 2023. What's the difference? How many years? 20 something years. 25 years. Then somebody wants to say, why are you talking about nations? I can talk about your family too, if you like. If you like. I'll just say, Lord, what about this one? The way Peter asked about John. What about this one? Then I'll just be looking at you. Then I'll ask you, who is Mebe? Okay, so once I start, we're on the express. And please, by the side, let me say this. Stay in your area of anointing. A lot of people are fighting and going through many things today because they are not operating in their area of anointing. So if you do that, you will enter into error. So that's an aside. He said you'll be a peculiar treasure. Next, quickly. Can you still hear me? It says, go back to verse 5. Come on now. Verse 5. It says, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So if the Lord decides to prioritize you and your family, count 14. Whatever the Lord did in the Old Testament, he's able to do more. Which means, The Lord entered into covenant with the family of Abraham. He can do the same with you today. Come on, say amen. You look at the family of Papa Egin and generations, this is like four generations now, that each generation has produced men of God. Each generation from Papa Egin to, what's his son, Ken Egin Jr. to Craig. Craig is the grandson. And I don't know who the folks in the fourth generation are, but every generation, that family is known as a family for men of God. If you want to marry somebody there and the person is playing rock music, just know that the day the owner of the covenant comes, he can move from the club to the church and become a pastor. So if you don't have the plans of marrying a pastor, don't go to Higgins' family. Go to the Joneses. Because even if the boy is smoking Igbo, there's a covenant that Higgins walk with God. Oh, as established. There is a covenant that Higgins walk with God. God has blessed the family. God has breathed upon that family. So even from the womb, they are following the Lord. I like him. He is different. He doesn't go to church like that. When the owner of the covenant shows up, Michael, what are you doing here? Let's say, call it. From the Igbo, straight to the altar. So don't be too happy. You want to marry somebody. You can see that everybody in the family, they are Christians, they are pastors. You say, I like him because he's different. He's not so spiritual. Okay. We are coming. We'll soon get to the bus stop. Verse 6, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and these are the words you shall speak. So there are three things the Lord established here. He said, number one, you shall be what? A peculiar treasure. That means you shall be what? Special, private property. I will treat you as my own. I will not share you. Which means that if anything come against you, I will take it personally. It's like somebody coming to your room to touch your personal things when you are not there. You will not say, oh, because it's your friend. No, nobody goes to my room. Say, I just watched, hey, bro, sorry. They should have told you. Huh? Nobody goes to my room. I know there are families where when you stay in the house long enough, they allow even the younger ones or the nannies or even people in church who stay with you. They go into the pastor's bedroom. But since I read this scripture, no, you cannot. No, you cannot. It takes a kind of relationship to allow your friend have that kind of access. You won't say because we are all in Christ. For whatever reason that somebody gave you $500, you didn't keep it on the table in the room. You took it to your room, and not only your room, you brought out one of your old jackets that you know that nobody goes there. You now open the one small pocket there. You kept it there because you are private property. He says you are inscribed upon the palm of his hands, which means if anything touches you, God knows first. It's not when you dream that you will not know that you're under attack. God says you will be a peculiar treasure. This is the way you hold treasure. You protect it, you guide it. You think it's your prayer that is keeping you? You are a peculiar treasure. If God waits for you to pray, you would have been dead. Number two, God says that the implication of obeying him and keeping his covenant, what did he say in verse 6? He said you will be a kingdom of priests. That means that what God wants to raise out of our families, and I'm not talking about you being a pastor. I say what God wants to raise out of our families, all of us, individual families, both families that are starting very soon, and those of us, God said, even as a nation, God wants to raise a nation like the kingdom of Saudi Arabia on earth. That from the moment you enter gates, you can tell the atmosphere here is different. If you have your winged spirit, wayward spirit, you must cover up. How do you know prostitution is a spirit? Because when you are going to those countries, you cover up. If you truly know you have your abode, carry your winch spirit and go to Dubai or Qatar or Iran or Iraq and say, I'm from America. I'm not bound by all those laws. Then you'll be tried according to the laws of the land. So if your winch spirit can subdue itself because of the law of another country, that means it's evil spirit that is pushing. It's not free will, it's evil spirit. Say we shall be a kingdom of priests. That means that we all begin to rise in our order of priesthood. We will rise. Some of us will be exceptionally gifted in the art of intercession. Some of us will be like the Asaphs who are gifted in worship. Some of us will be like prophetic priests like Samuel. We will rise in different orders of priesthood. When somebody brings a problem, you say, this kind of problem, let's call Tina. That's our area. This other one, the nation, let's go to Pastor Benga. This one, personal prophecy, go to Pastor. You say, this other one, the Joseph anointing, let's go to Sister Joy. These are different levels of priesthood that are rising up in human endeavors. Mary rose into priesthood, but she was not a pastor. And she was seeing angels. She was having encounters with angels because the strength of the ministry and the anointing of Mary was humility. That was the strength of Mary's anointing, humility. The moment she saw the angel, you will see the way she was engaging with honor and respect. She didn't say she is a messenger. She engaged with honor and respect. And it was the angel that was now saying to her, you are highly favored. You are highly favored. How can a woman become highly favored with God? That means she has this pattern of worship that God likes. She has been doing something over time. And God has been observing her that, I love this lady. I love this lady. I love this lady. Which means every angel must honor her. There was a conversation in the heavens, which was what the angel gave voice to. He said, Mary, blessed and highly favored. God loves you. God is interested in you. God likes you. You are a child of the temple. You are always around in the temple. Every time we look around, we find you. You don't go too far away. You are always around. We love you. God loves you. There shall be a kingdom of priests. You may be a housewife, but be a priest. You may be a banker, but rise into priesthood. God will so train you that you'll be exceptionally versatile and good in a particular area. And everything around your life will revolve around that anointing. It will revolve around that anointing. You will not really need so much from the outside because you'll be prepared. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I'm prepared. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord said we shall be a kingdom of priests. Next one, very quickly, let's just round up. Oh my God, my time is up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you to thank the Lord in 1 minute. I want you to thank Him for what you have heard. I want you to thank Him because He has called you as a covenant treasure, as a peculiar people, and as a kingdom of priests. I want you to thank Him for this holy calling. I want you to thank Him for this holy calling, for entering into covenants with your family, for coming into covenants with you, for bringing you into the reality of the divine. I want you to thank Him now. I want you to thank Him now. Give Him glory. 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 Begin to thank Him. Because the Lord will defend you. He will defend your children. He will defend all that concerns you. Go ahead and thank Him. Go ahead and thank Him. Give Him glory. Give Him glory. In Jesus' mighty name we are afraid. I appreciate the Lord and give Him glory.